Yes, we shall get started.
All right. Sound of speed. Let's go.
Okay. All right, so, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. With all of our usual intentions for our story time, Eternal Father, we offer thee the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all of the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in our own home and within our family, amen. And once again, we thank our family and our guardian angels for being with us. We hope to have a good time with us. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We ask Phil, Mina, Bridget, Margaret, Bridget, and Curtis Jr. to please join us.
Amen.
In doing Anthony's rendition of Jedi Academy.
Amen. All right, so. So the sun is rising on dawning on Yavin 4 here as whatever some jungle bird rouses poor Jaden from his sleep only for Jaden to realize that it is in fact actually an alarm sound that has that sound clip to it. So he looks over to see a mischievous Jason grinning ear to ear. He goes, so Jason goes, hey, wake up, sleepyhead. And he drops down from his upper bunk on the other side of the room. And he goes, I believe today is going to be training day. You see, Rosh, who has been up for a couple minutes, looks over and he's like, training day? And you see Mom Martha goes on to explain, yeah, this is going to be what they this is kind of like a exercise where you they're going to be working with the guidance beacons. Rosh
Biden speaking.
And Jason goes, yeah, there's where we go out into the past the compound, out into the jungles, to retrieve a beacon and bring it back. It's kinda like Mamatha goes on to explain, it's kinda like a real world exercise test, you know, where let's say that we get a distress signal from somebody, and we need to navigate into the probably a unfriendly environment, rescue them, and bring them back. So this is kind of simulating that. So there'll be some, obviously, use of force powers, but it's not as much of the focus as just like kind of like physical training. So you see, at this point, they have all collected their things and have headed out of the bunkhouse and are trudging down the path to the plaza outside the main building. And you see that they are soon joined by some of the other students and initiates. They can see and recognize Mara and Rune and Dima. Coming up, because all of the, like, student, dormitory bunkhouses are, in this one, compound that's got the wall around it, you know, and so then that kind of, like, has a, exit that they, the path leads out, to that plaza in front of the main building, and so, so before long, obviously, the students all kind of, the different groups of them all converge onto the one path. So you see that as they catch up to, you know, the Mamatha's sister and the other two, they overhear that Mara similarly explaining a little bit of the basics of how the guidance beacon exercise works. She's like, yeah, so they give you this, tracking fob, and part of the exercise will probably, it depends. Sometimes, sometimes Horn, he has, like, the signal cut in and out, so you have to, like, kind of, like, it's kind of like a combination between following the tracker and using the force to kind of get a sense of where you're supposed to be going. It just depends. Since you guys are initiates, he'll probably have you rely more on the hardware than needing to, like, you know, sense where the beacon is. So you see Rune's like, oh, so easy mode? And she goes, Mara kind of laughs, but before she can respond, you see Jason goes, well, I wouldn't exactly call, navigating the jungle's easy mode, even if you know where you're supposed to be going. Fortunately, it's daytime, so the wildlife should be at a minimum, but that doesn't mean it's a walk in the park. And you see Rosh remembers, he's like, well, Jaden and I had some training with navigating the jungles already, didn't we?
We certainly did.
And
let's just hope we're able to get back in time before those howlers show up again.
And you see Mamatha's like, well, fortunately, you see him, he's like, well, that's why the exercise starts at daybreak. And so you see them, all the students now have assembled into the plaza, and you see this Jedi come up to them, and he goes, they kind of recognize him from, like, their initial orientation day, and he bows to them, and he goes, greetings, my name is, Tazin Horn. I am your trainer for today, he goes, judging by the looks on your faces, I'm trusting that the apprentices here have given you initiates some idea of what today's training is going to be. But let me reiterate then, for those of you who aren't perhaps familiar, this, and you see him, he pulls out this little device. This is a what we call a guidance beacon, and you see him, he pulls out something that's fits comfortably in his hand. It's probably maybe like a foot tall, you know what I mean? You see him, he puts it down on the ground, and it has, like, these tripod feet, and this little antenna sticks up out of it, and you see it starts blinking. And you see him, he goes, so this is going to simulate, oftentimes the Jedi get distress signals from various civilian and merchant vessels that have maybe had to put down on a hostile planet because of lack of fuel or some other brush with pirates, or even just any number of difficulties that causes them to need to put down in a potentially hostile environment. And knowing how to navigate such a hostile environment is important to not only ensure that their survival of the refugees, but also your own survival. It's a difficult business, but we don't want to be it's bad enough trying to get them out of danger. We don't want to complicate issues matters even further by instead of getting them out of danger, we merely put one of you in danger. So, for this exercise, you see him going around, and he's passing out these tracking fobs. As a narrator's note, probably kind of akin to the ones they had, for the bounty hunters in like The Mandalorian, like that kind of a tracker. And you see, Tazen goes on to explain. So for this exercise, I think I'm going to probably try to pair up some of the initiates with apprentices, just to help show the newcomers the ropes of how this works. So you see him; he's like you see him, he's thinking. He goes, how about, Jaden? Why don't you go with, Jason? And, see him, he goes, Mamatha, why don't you go with Rosh? And then you see, he goes, Dima, why don't you go with Mara? And because of the numbers here, as far as the students, you see him, he looks, he goes, Rune, why don't you come with me? So you see,
And you see, Jaden is quite happy about this on the inside. I don't care where she goes, just as long as it's not with me.
Well, it's quite fortunate then that Jaden that that they're in the same class, so to speak, so that he doesn't get paired up. And so you see Jason comes up to him, and you see him. He goes, "All right, sounds good." So you see the various groups take their positions, and you see you see he's passed out the trackers, and you see him. He goes, He gives a signal, and you see that all the fobs start like slowly blinking. You know, it's a very slow pulse, and so you see Jason goes, "All right, come on!" You see Jason goes running out with Jaden closely following him, and so you see they. Right.
I have a question, Jason. Don't these beacons emit some kind of light?
And you see him, he goes, well, I mean, there is a pulsing light on it for sure. You see him, but it's kind of small.
That's good. Good, because I don't want to give off anyone, I don't want to give off whoever they were trying to run away from our location. Like, figure out exactly where it's coming from.
Oh, right. You see him, he goes, well, I wish them, good luck with that. You see, as you see, Jason motions with his hand to the very dense forest that they have just, or jungle, I should say, that they have just, worked their way into. And, you see him, he's like, good luck seeing anything in here. And it is indeed a very thick, dense overgrowth. And you see, before long, Jason, has, already, started to make use of his lightsaber to try to cut through some of the thicker sections. You see him, he goes, now, it's, should be, noted that it's not a competition. And then you see him, he goes, and in point of fact, Tazen doesn't always, have all the groups go to the same tracker, I mean, to the same, guidance beacon. Sometimes, he has the group split up, and sometimes he has multiple of us on the same beacon. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what we discover. And you see he ducks his head under some low-hanging branches and pushes them aside and makes his way forward. And you see him, he's like, hmm. And you see him, he stops, and he goes, so how's the fob responding? Are we? Does it seem like we're on the right track?
Oh, this, Jane looks at the beacon. I think so.
And you see him, he goes, you see Jason is like, can you tell what direction we need to go in? Like if you know, point it one way and then another, is it speeding up at all, or?
Let's see. Beep, beep, beep. I think we need to go. Jaden turns to his right, and the thing beeps very quickly. I think we need to go right.
And you see Jason goes, perfect. So you see they go to the right. And they push their way through some undergrowth and discover that they come to a separating of the growth because there is a like an embankment where there is water, like part of a river flowing through that is down at a lower level. So you see where they are on the ground, it's they can see over to the other side of the water, but it's like a gap, you know what I mean? It's like a very small little like canyon separating them and the other side of the bank because the water level is low. So you see Jason is like, you see him, he's looking, and he's like, oh, it's just a little too far to jump, even with the force. You see him looking around, okay, see that, low-hanging limb over there?
Yep.
And you see, Jason goes, I'm thinking, should be able to make the jump over to there, and then probably...
What if he used it to swing across?
And you see, Jason is like, so it's like, if the tree was a little bit more flexible, you could use it to swing all the way across. But maybe what we could do, because the branch is like hanging out over in the middle, he goes, if we take turns, if we jump onto it and then hold ourselves and then maybe we can swing and jump again, should be able to make it across. So you see him, he goes, you want to give it a try?
All right. So and Jaden, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say, yeah. So with that, Jaden, takes a couple steps back, focuses, and he leaps and grabs onto the branch in the middle of the, hanging in the middle of the river. And so you see the tree kind of bends and sways a little bit, but it stabilizes. And so you see Jason's like, okay, looks good. See if you can make it the rest of the way.
All right. And with this, Jaden stands up, and squatting his legs down, he pushes them up as he jumps over to the other side.
And you see with that, you see Jason's like, nice work, as he sees Jaden land safely along the other bank. And so you see Jason goes, okay, I'll be right behind you. So you see Jason similarly winds his way up and takes a running start and then leaps through the air and grabs onto the branch in the middle of the hanging out over the river. And so you see he goes, as it stabilizes, you see him, he goes, okay, now for the next part. And you see, but before he's able to continue, you hear this creaking, cracking sound, and in a blink, the branch snaps, and you see Jason goes, ah! And you see him, he goes plummeting down into the river, and you see...
Jaden uses the force. Uses the force to rescue him.
And so you see, yes, Jaden is, successfully grabbing him, and you see that the branch that Jason was clinging to is being kept from being swept away, but the flow of the river is a little strong, so Jaden is needing to focus, and he's keeping the branch in place. And so you see Jason sees this, and you see Jason takes advantage of it to balance himself on the branch that has been stabilized.
Sorry, I thought he fell in the water.
Oh, so what happened was that, yes, he did fall into the water with the like the branch that he was clinging to. So Jaden used the force to keep the branch from like floating rapidly downstream. So the branch is kind of like in the water but not going anywhere. So with that, Jason was able to pull himself up out of the water onto the branch that's kind of like floating, bobbing in the water because it's not going anywhere. And so then Jason, he goes, he takes advantage of the stability to leap up and he grabs onto the side of the cliff. You see him, he goes, nice work, as he holds out a hand to...
And Jason grabs Jason and pulls him up.
And you see him, he goes, wow, thanks, yep. That was...
You all right, Jason?
You see him, he goes, yeah, aside from being a little wet, I'm doing great. Nice work back there. So you see, he goes, so how's the tracker looking?
Still pretty stable. So far we're on the right track. It's still beeping very fast.
And you see Jason goes, he goes, excellent, nice. So you see the two of them continue to pursue the tracker towards the guidance beacon. And meanwhile, in another part of the jungle, you see Mom Motho and Rosh are plodding along. And
before I continue, I need to use the bathroom.
Oh, absolutely.
And then we should save the Angelus real quick.
Absolutely. All right, I'm just gonna pause the recording while you're gone.
Mon Mothma, and Rosh.
Yes. And so you see they're making their way through the jungle, and this is a slightly different direction that they're going in from Jaden and Jason. And you see that they're actually like following along through a slightly easier section to traverse because they're following a like a stream, you see, my mouth was like, so far the fob seems to be responding well. I think we're heading in the right direction, and he's like, we'll probably need to break off from the water at some point. You see, Rosh, it's kind of like a came prepared with his blaster rifle, you know, just in case. You see Mom Arthur's like, when did you first start noticing that you were force sensitive? And Rosh is like, I guess I've ever since I was a small, actually. I just kind of would have these premonitions, you know, these sense of things, you know, kind of before they happened. And you see, Mamatho's like, I guess that was kind of a, subtle, manifestation of it. Probably, helped you to, keep your head low, and maybe even people not really even realize that you had force sensitivity, which was a good thing, you know, back in the Empire's heyday. And you see Rosh goes, yeah, no, it wasn't until very recently that it started increasing, and we, you know, had the feeling that I should look into it, because it was something more than just, you know, getting a feeling about you know, something happening. And Mom Martha's like, probably got you a little bit of a reputation, right, for being a warrior, I guess. And you see Rosh was like, kind of. I mean, I only seemed to get premonitions about bad things that were going to happen. And Mamoth was like, well, perhaps maybe with some guidance and training, you can channel that talent and be able to utilize it for maybe sensing positive things. And you see Rosh is like, well, I hope so. It's, you know, part of why I'm here. And but what about you, Amatho? I heard your sister talking about your parents looking out for you guys because you were Jedi material at a time when that was kind of illegal, huh? And you see Amatho's like, yes, no, well, so you see, Mara, you know, she's a few years older than me, and, she started, exhibiting, tendencies that, had my parents worried, because, at that time, as you pointed out, the Empire was, making it their business to, ensure that, sensitive individuals were dealt with, but I actually got I was very little, 2 maybe 3, but Mara had was already starting to attract a little bit too much unwanted attention, and that's where we actually got some help from Senator Mon Mothma. She had a underground organization that she had helped to help kind of keep Force sensitives and other unwanteds of the Empire brought to safe havens. And so that's actually where I got my name, was because she really helped our family out, and so I was named after her. So you see Rosh goes, hey, wait a minute, look, and you see the tracker starting to speed up, and you see Mamatho's like, good, looks like we need to go this direction. And so you see them going along, and they need to turn off from the river, or the stream rather, and start heading into the undergrowth. And so you see they're making their way through, and you see the tracker starting to blink pretty quickly, and then all of a sudden it cuts off, and you see Rosh is like, wait a minute, and you see me kind of like, you know, flips it over and is looking at it, holds it up to his ear, and you see him, he goes, did it break? You know? And you see Mamatho's like, no, let me look. And you see him, he kind of finds a little, you see him, he kind of like pops the back off of it, and like you see that there's like a switch to push, and he runs a quick diagnostic, and you see like the LED, the little light on the fob kind of like cycles through several different like patterns and colors, and you see him, he goes, no, diagnostics shows that it's still working. You see him, he goes, Horn must have deactivated the guidance beacon. And so you see Rosh is like, oh man, how are we supposed to find it now? And you see Mamoth was like, well, looks like we're gonna have to focus on this one. It's not gonna be a walk in a Coruscant Park here. So you see him, he goes, okay. You see him, he starts to focus, and he goes, all right, I think I'm getting a sense that it's over here to the, if we go west, how about you? What are you sensing, Rosh? And you see Rosh is like focusing. You see him, he goes, yeah, no, I feel it too, west. So you see them, they make their way west, and they're working their way through some low-hanging vines, and you see Mamatho takes out his lightsaber and is clearing a path for them. And you see He goes, okay. All right. Looks like I see another break in the trees, and you see Mamatho. Rosh goes, "Wait a minute!" And they stop, and you see him. He's like, he's focusing, and he looks up, and he goes, "I'm thinking it might be up there." And you see, he points up this tall jungle tree, and you see Mamatho's like, "Are you sure?" And you see Rosh is like, that's the feeling I'm getting here. And you see him, he hands the fob to Mamatho, and you see he slings the rifle over his back, and he's like, "Okay, cover me." And you see Mamatho's like, "What do you mean, cover you?" And you see Rosh is like, "I don't know, just in case some aggressive wildlife or something shows up." And you see him, he starts hoisting himself up into the tree, and you see him, he goes, "Or in case I accidentally disturb some jungle bird's nest." And you see he goes climbing, and you see Mamatho kind of smiles to himself, and you see him, he goes, "I don't know where you grew up, but the birds aren't too aggressive around here." And you see Rosh is like, "Well, you can never be too sure," as he goes climbing up, and you see Mamatho is like, "Hey, can you, he's like, "Do you have, he's like, "I bet with a little bit of focus you could probably, do some jumping. You wouldn't have to, you know, do this all by hand." And Rosh is like, I'm not too sure. I'm still just an initiate, you know?" And, you see, Rosh, you know, calls down that, and then you see him, he kind of stops, because he sees that Mamatho has leapt up onto a branch next to him, and you see Mamatho's like, it might not be as hard as you think. You see him, he goes, "Here, let's just start easy. See that branch up there?" You see him, he points, and it's, you know, maybe 10 or 15 feet up, and you see Mamatho is like, "Here, you can do it." He's like, "I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to, but if with a little bit of focus, here, look, watch." You see Mamatho kind of, you know, poises himself and focuses, and then he leaps up onto the, branch. And you see him, he turns around, and he's like, "Here, just focus on trying to get to me." And so you see Rosh is kind of like, you know, had climbed up onto a branch and was kind of working his way up by mostly clinging to the tree trunk, you know, and then like climbing onto a branch with his first a hand and then a foot, that kind of a thing. And so you see Mamatho, you know, reaches his hand out, and he's like, just focus on getting up to me. And so you see Rosh is like, I don't know. I don't know that I can do this. And, Mamatho's like, look, just try it. Okay. If somehow you fall, I'll grab you, okay? Even if I need to use the force. So you see Rosh is like, you see him, you know, he, you know, steps out onto the branch a little bit, having just like one hand kind of resting on the trunk. You see him, he, you know, tightens the strap on his rifle to make sure that it doesn't fall off. And you see him, he goes, he takes a breath, he closes his eyes. And he opens them, and looking at Mamatho, he leaps up some, and you see him, he goes, and he, like, his hand, like, brushes against the branch, and he kind of goes, and you see, but Mamatho, you know, reaches his hand down and grabs him, and, you see him, Mamatho focuses, and, you know, with a combination of, you know, natural pulling and force pulling, he pulls him up onto the branch. And he goes, "Not bad, not bad." And you see Rosh is like, didn't quite make it. And you see Mamatho was like, he's like, "For a first jump, I think that was, I think you did quite well." And, you see Rosh kind of, you know, blinks and smiles a little bit. And he goes, he's like, "You know, maybe I should stay here and you should, go up and check the beacon. It'll be faster. And you see Mamatha's like, no, you're the one who had a sense that it was up here. And he's like, besides, there's no rush. We're making excellent time. So you see Rosh kind of goes, well, and you see him, he closes his eyes. He goes, okay, I think it's up in that branch. And he points, and you see Mamatha's like, well, let's take a look. You see over in a different part of the jungle, you see Mara and Dima making their way, and you see Mara has her lightsaber out and has, you know, cut through some undergrowth, and she goes, how's the fob doing? And you see Dima looks down, and you see her, she's looking at it, and she goes, okay, wait. And you see she stops, and she's pointing it around, and she goes, this way. I think it's this way. And you see Mara's like, oh, but that's back the way we came from. And you see Dima's like, well, let's see what you think. And you see Mara comes up, and you see she picks it up, the fob, and is pointing it around. She goes, well, okay, I guess you're right. Here we go. So you see back this way. And so you see them, you know, walking along, and you see Dima goes, does our trainer friend, is he known to play practical jokes? And you see Mara kind of shakes her head. She's like, no, maybe there's some kind of interference or something? Well, maybe he's just trying to simulate a real world rescue. You know, sometimes the distress signal can yield strange results. Or maybe you just gotta think on your feet. And so you see them, tracing back the path that they came, and then you see they stop, and Dima's like, okay, all right. Now over this way. And so you see them, walking again, and you see Mara stops, and she's like, wait a minute, doesn't this rock look familiar? And you see that there is this very large boulder that has this tree, kind of like growing up and around and out of it. And you see Dima and Mara both stop, and you see she's like, it does look a little familiar. And you see Mara goes, here. And you see she takes her lightsaber and does just the slightest little nick into the boulder. And you see here she goes, that way if we come across it again, we'll know. And so you see them, they, walk past it. And you see Dima's like, when are we going to get to the... how much training do we need to accomplish before we get to the ceremony of making your own lightsaber? And you see Mara goes, honestly, I was expecting you to get a training saber any day now. Unfortunately, I know that there's been some difficulty in getting our hands on lightsaber worthy crystals, like I mentioned before. And you see Dima goes, I guess that's kind of a problem, isn't it? And you see Mara goes, kind of. There are some systems that are sympathetic to the Jedi Order that Luke's starting. We have a planet, Andross, I think, was mentioned. Jason mentioned it, I think. They've been a pretty good supplier of crystals, although I know that they don't have a super abundance of them, but I'm guessing that Master Skywalker's probably planning on a trip there for him or one of the other masters soon to get some more crystals. But could you check that fob again? And so you see Dima looks at it. She goes, I think we're on the right track. And then you see Mara and her, you know, push aside, push through some leaves, and you see them, they stop, and you see them, they kind of blink, and there's that boulder again, and there's the nick in it. And you see Mara goes, "Ah, what is wrong with the tracker?" And you see her, she, you know, grabs it from Dima, and you see her looking at it. She goes, "Okay, Master Horn is clearly trying to teach us something." And you see Dima goes, "What do you think he's trying to teach us?" And you see Mara goes, "Okay, let's ditch the tracker for a second and just try to focus. Maybe we can get a good sense of where it is." And so you see them, you know, standing there. You see them, they both are trying to focus. And you see Mara's like, "I'm getting something very faint, but it's not coming in very well. How about you?" And you see Dima goes, "I'm not really getting anything." You see Mara goes, "Okay, here, let's... This one's going to take a little bit more focus." And you see both of them, you know, sit down and close their eyes. And you see them, like, really, really keeping a steady, steady focus on it. And then you see... Dima goes, and you see her, she kind of raises her hand, and you see her, she's pointing, and you see, "I'm thinking it's that way." And you see Mara kind of, you see Mara opens her eyes, and you see her, she stands up, and she goes, "Yeah, that's what I'm feeling too. Here, let's try this way." So you see the two of them, following in the direction that they had a sense. And you see that as they push through the clearing, that Dima goes, "Hey, wait, look, is that it?" And you see them, she points, and you see Mara goes, "I think that might be it." So you see them, they go running up, and you see they get to the beacon, and you see that it's blinking, and you see Dima goes, "What do we do now?" And Mara goes, "Okay, you see her, like, reaching around the back of it, and she goes, "Okay, this here," and you see she presses a button, and you see it, you know, ching, you see the light changes from a blinking green to a steady yellow, and you see that the tripod legs fold up, and you see the antenna goes down, and so you see Mara picks it up off the ground, and she goes, "Okay, that will send the signal that we have successfully collected it." And you see Dima goes, "Now how do we get back to the compound?" And then you hear Mara all of a sudden stops, and you see Dima's like, what is it? And you see Mara goes, and she kind of puts a hand to her lips and points, and you see Dima looks over, and she hears what Mara was hearing, which is the sound of movement some short distance away. So you see her, she goes, and you see she, like, motions, and you see Mara goes over and kind of, like, does, like, a half climb jump up into one of the lower hanging branches of the tree, and she turns around and reaches her hand out. So you see Dima kind of, like, tries to, like, hop a little bit and, like, kind of grabs onto a lower branch and reaches her hand up. And so you see Mara reaches down, grabs her, and pulls her up, and you see the two of them are up, not too high, but enough to be just up off of the ground level. And you see them, they look, and you see, you know, the sound of movement gets closer, and before long, the some of the undergrowth parts, and you see what emerges is a person, actually. And you see almost involuntarily, you see Dima calls out, "Rune?" And you see Rune stops and looks up, and she goes, she kind of, you know, cocks her head and smiles and is like, so the, is this, are the Jedi, play acting as, Yazi now? And, you see, Mara kind of smiles and she drops down. She goes, we weren't sure what to expect. Rune's like, I was expecting to find a tracking beacon here. And you see, Dima's like, well, you were, I guess you must have been on the same one as us, but you were just a little too late. And she, you know, produces the, tracking beacon from her hand. And, you see Mara goes, where's Tazen Horn? And you see Rune looks around and she goes, I don't know. We got split up. You see, Dima's like, but your tracker led you here? And then you see, Rune goes, well, I mean, to be honest, my tracker was giving me trouble. And, you see, she goes, I just presumed it was part of the exercise. So I was just following my sense. And, you see, Mara's like, well, your sense wasn't wrong. I'm just not sure that this was the, tracker that, I mean, the beacon that, was connected with your fob. And, you see, Mara's like, but I guess that was on purpose. And, you see, Mara's like, maybe we should retrace your steps. We should try to find out what happened to, Tazen. You see here, come on. So you see the three of them, head off. And, you see, meanwhile, we, return now to, Jason and, Jaden. And you see, Jason, Jaden have, you know, pushed their way through, some of the dense foliage again, and, you see, Jason, is like, okay, according to the, fob here, it must be close, don't you think?
I believe so, yes.
And, you see, Jason's like, in fact, I'm thinking it must be right in this area. And you see him, he's looking around, and he goes, he's like, okay, I'll look over here. Here, you want to check behind those trees? So you see,
all right, I'll check there and then we'll meet back. And we'll meet back here and I'll show you where I found it.
And you see, Jason sounds, he goes, you know, he goes, he gives him a, you know, like a thumbs up kind of gesture. And so you see the two of them are looking around and, you see Jason, you know, looking underneath, and behind some trees and you see him, he, goes like, does like a little run, jump up, grabs onto a very low hanging branch, climbs up. And you see him, he's like squatting in the tree and looking around and, and he goes, any luck? And you see,
hold on, not quite. Wait a minute.
The tracker is blinking faster and faster and faster, until it's almost like a constant stream of blinking. And,
this keeps going in the direction as it keeps beeping, beeping faster. Then after he clears, then leads right up to the brush. And after he clears it, he finds it's the exact same spot where Dima Mara, unbeknownst to them, were before.
And, so you see, Jason goes, so you see Jason, you know, drops down next to him and he goes, this is the spot, but I'm not seeing any tracker. I mean, I'm not seeing any beacon.
Weird. Well, I guess... weird. Well, why do we... I would say Why don't we just wait for the others?
And you see Jason goes, sure, we can do that. And then you see we catch up now with Rosh and Mamatho, and you see Rosh has pulled himself, with Mamatho's help, up onto the branch that he thought he had sensed the beacon. And you see them looking around, and you see Mamatho is like, so, is it there? And you see Rosh looking around, and he goes, I'm not seeing anything. Wait. And you see him, he pulls himself forward, and he reaches into the tree trunk. There's like a slight little hollowing in the tree trunk. And you see him, he pulls out a beacon. And you see him, he goes, I think this is it, right? And you see Mamatho kind of smiles, and he goes, this is a beacon, all right. You see him, he goes, this was the beacon from a couple weeks ago. And you see Rosh is like, what do you mean? And you see him, he goes, we wound up having to leave this one behind because we couldn't find it. And you see Rosh, you know, kind of is like, so you mean it's not an active one part of today? And you see Mamatho kind of smiles, and he goes, well, good for you, you know. He's like, your sense was right. It was a beacon. It might have been the wrong one, but it was a beacon, all right. You see Rosh is just like, oh, man, seriously? And Mamatho's like, hey, no, I think you should be, I think you should be proud of yourself. I think Horn will be very impressed. And you see Rosh goes, oh. He goes, great, so I'll, next time we get a distress signal, I'll find somebody in need, but it'll be the wrong person. And you see Mamatho goes, well, if it's somebody in need of help, it's never the wrong person. And then you see Rosh goes, speaking of people in need of help, look, is there somebody down there? And you see Mamatho looks, and he goes, wait a minute, I think that's Tazen. And you see him, you see them, they look, and you see, he goes, they hear, Tazen, shouting out, you know, calling out, Rune, Satel, where are you? And, you see, Master, and you see him, he stops, and he looks up, and you see him, he goes, Mamatho, is that you? And you see him, he goes, yes, I'm up here with Rosh. And you see Rosh goes, we were just finding the wrong beacon. And you see Tazen kind of stops, and he looks up. He goes, what do you mean the wrong beacon? And you see Mamatho goes, here, it's the one from the training day a couple weeks ago. And you see him, he tosses it down, and you see Tazen catches it, and you see him looking at it, and he goes, the fob led you up there? And you see Mamatho goes, no, the fob went dead. And you see he goes, here. And you see the two of them, kind of a combination of using the force and using their arms, they manage to get down to the ground. Ugh. And you see him, he goes, Mamatho's like, see for yourself. And we ran diagnostics on it, but the signal went dead. And you see Tazen is like, you see him, and he has a look of some, you know, consternation on his face. You see Rosh, everything okay? You see Tazen goes, of all the days to have technical trouble when we have a fresh crop of initiates here. And you see him, he goes, and he looks at Rosh. He goes, so you sense this beacon's location? And you see Rosh goes, I guess my sensing is a bit off. And you see, Tazen's like, on the contrary, I wasn't sure if we were going to get this one back. You see, the weather was a bit bad. We had a, storm squall, work its way up out of nowhere. And then you see, Mamatho goes, hey, wait a minute, look. And you see the beacon, the fob turns on again, and you see him, and it's pretty hot. And you see, he goes, okay, seems to be working again. Shall we go this way? And you see Tazen goes, yes. So you see they follow the tracker and push through some growth and all of a sudden find themselves face to face with Jason. And you see Jason looks and he goes, hey, Jaden, you were right. They found us. So you see, Tazen goes, well, I'm glad that at least part of us are together. Do you have any idea where the other students are? So Jason's like, no, we haven't seen them yet. Probably their beacon isn't far off. And you see, Tazen goes, no, I had you all set to the same beacon today. And you see they stop, and you see,
at that moment, Jaden starts sensing something through the Force, and comes to a bit of a conclusion. I think Mara Rune and Dima went looking for you.
And you see, Tazen goes, and you see him, he stops, and he similarly senses, and he goes, I'm sensing something similar. And you see him, he goes, well, the beacon was right here. And you see him, he clears, and he goes, and it's gone now, which probably suggests that they found it. So they couldn't have gone too far. You see, he goes, rather than split up, let's stay together.
I think that's wise. That means they got here before us.
And you see Mamatho goes, and they couldn't have gotten too far away. And you see Rosh goes, Master, do you have any record of when the beacon was collected? And you see Tazen goes, good thinking, Rosh. And you see him, he pulls out like a kind of a, tablet, small tablet from his, a pouch. And you see him, he, looks, you know, swiping through the screen. And he goes, yes, according to this record here, the beacon was collected a very short time ago, so they couldn't have gotten far. Let's go. And so you see that with that, they the group, having been mostly reunited, set off to try to find the missing members of their party. And that is where we will stop the chapter for today.
All right, perfect timing. I got someone knocking on my door.
Okay. Alrighty, Francis. Well, love you. Thanks for the time, and I will make sure to get these chapters to you soon.
All right. See you around. Thanks.
All right. Love you, Francis. See ya.
See ya.
All right. And so today is June 7th, 2026, and that wraps up Chapter 5 of Jedi Academy.